Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We take a break from our regularly scheduled New York Giants suck programming to give you a nice little interlude. A little, the New York Jets suck and they're a clown show programming. So we go from one franchise that's letting their fans down to another franchise that's just embarrassing their
fans. The New York Jets suck.
They do. They did not play over the weekend. They may have gotten a little bit of help when it comes to their draft pick status. But we got new information about their coaching search. The New York Jets, they even announced it. This isn't something that just needed to be reported by The Atlantic or Jonathan Jones from CBS, even though they did. The New York Jets came out and said, hey, we're hiring the 33rd team to help support us in our search for the GM and the head coach. Now, I follow the 33rd team. Mm-hmm. I thought they were just like some news agency. I wasn't even sure what the heck it was.
Right. They evaluate games and players and situations in the league, and it's all kinds of people. My brother is part of the 30.
They got a lot of guys.
So it's a big roster. Some executive, former executives, some former coaches, some are former players.
Yeah,
it's a bunch of different people that are contributing to a. What am I looking at? What are you looking at? What are we seeing when we watch these games or look at these individual players?
Right. They even had an article. I'm not even kidding you. 5 days ago. Handicapping the Jets' search for a general manager. And they're telling us it's unrelated. This is not the actual Jet list. That group, led by Mike Tannenbaum, who, of course, used to be the Jets' general manager, as well as the Dolphins' general manager, and Rick Spielman, the former Viking general manager, will be a part of the group with the 33rd team that advises Woody Johnson on who they should hire for GM or head coach. Also over the weekend, a name popped up as a rumor, according to Diana Russini, that caused me great pain in my stomach. Now, I want to make this clear. I don't want Rex Ryan. We talked about this on Friday. I don't want to have to fight this fight again. Thank you, Rex, for your time. That's the past. The name brought up by Diana Russini was Eric Mangini.
it was positioned as an interesting name.
is Eric Mangini. Now, Eric Mangini is affiliated with the 33rd team, and much like Rex Ryan, Eric Mangini is on TV. So, ladies and gentlemen, we present to you Eric Mangini campaigning for the job, but not campaigning for the job, but really campaigning for the job.
I obviously am not lobbying for the job, but I feel pretty good about what I did while I was there. I mean, we just had three of those guys that I coached go into the Jets Ring of Honor, and I think we were a smart, disciplined, tough team. I didn't realize they were getting the band back together, bringing Tannenbaum in. it's like any other situation. There's a lot of things that you can do with an organization from a vision and principle standpoint, and I feel good about what I did when I was there.
I don't need to hear this anymore. I'm in a freaking time machine, okay? Because when Rex Ryan did his shtick on Friday, I was like, wow, I'm back in the Rex Ryan, I've got a lot of confidence mode. Now I'm back in the I'm boring as hell mode with Eric Mangini. Look, I don't want to relitigate fights about the Mangini era or the Rex era. Let me just say this. Keep it in the freaking past.
Or keep it on ESPN. It's almost like ESPN is encouraging these guys.
Well, this is Fox, I think. So Mangini's Fox, right. Rex is ESPN.
Well, these networks, whoever it is, these networks saying, hey, you know, it's good for us. Throw it out there.
Well, it is because we talk about it.
People will buy in.
Right.
Or at least tune in if they think that you're a candidate. There's no way that Rex Ryan is actually a candidate.
Is Eric Mangini?
There's no way that Eric Mangini is actually a candidate. How long ago was that? And what has he done recently to make you say, that's the coach who I believe in that understands what's going on with today's modern athlete?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing.
And I think that's what we're forgetting. Is it, yes, these guys were good with a different era of athlete, right? My generation of athlete, not this generation of athlete. These kids do not care about your history, what you did before, what hard work you brought. How are you making me a better player? That's what they care about.
Right.
That's all they care about. And it better be innovative. It better not be, all right, we're going to get in the I formation, guys, and going to run downhill between the tackles. Yeah. Your guy against my guy. Yep, we're going to win. And it's fourth and short. We're going to get it. How? Because we're going to get lower. We're going to get stronger. We're going to be better. All right. Break. Team on three. 1, 2, 3. Team.
Right.
Like, seriously, what are we talking about?
The other thing that kind of bothers me about this whole thing is that the Jets' history is not great. And I know that Mangini and Rex did a lot more in terms of success than the Robert Saleh era, than the Todd Bowles era, than the Adam Gase era. I get it. But this isn't going back to Joe Gibbs. You know what I mean? Like, when the Washington franchise did that, you'd understand it. Okay, you could get why the Giants would say, let's go back to Tom Coughlin. Mm-hmm. Or the Yankees would say, let's go back to Joe Torre. Because as old as they may be, no offense, there was such proud moments.
Of course.
You're like, let me see if I can rekindle that. The Jets didn't win anything with those guys. It got worse at the end with Rex. In Mangini's case, you can blame Brett Favre all you want. They choked away an 8-3 season in a year in which Tom Brady wasn't playing because he got hurt. So the idea, this fantasy of the Jets, who don't even have a great history, of bringing the band back together, like, all right, Mangini's the GM, Rex is the head coach, Sanchez is the quarterback's coach. I mean, what the hell are we doing? We're a bleep show. And then we got Woody Johnson, who's going to decide who to hire. Now, I got nothing against this 33rd team. It just feels weird, Tiki. It feels weird that this is like a media organization.
Yeah.
They're tweeting out articles. They're also going to help the Jets with their search for GM and head coach. It doesn't, and this is the first time they've ever been asked to do this, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, as far as I know.
I know Rick Spielman helped the Commanders
find
their new administration, and it looks great. But this feels like it's under a different banner, and I'm just uncertain of it.
Yeah, I think when you look at the members of the 33rd team and the people who are doing stuff there, my brother included, they know a ton of people, right? They've been around the game for a long time. And so whether it's from a player, coach, executive standpoint, they know people and they can give an opinion on how a guy really is. And it's honestly, I think, one of the issues that a lot of owners face is, yeah, they're owners of a NFL team, but I mean, how much are they in the weeds with, like, the people of the league?
Right.
And the answer is probably not a ton.
So you need to bring people like this in.
Right, right. They might know some of these guys, these head coaching candidates or know of them. Maybe they've met them once or twice, but do they actually know who that guy is and what he's all about, what his family's like what the context of how he would come into your organization and try to create a culture? You can't know that.
Right.
And it's hard to learn it. And what are you going to have? You know, 5-hour meeting and then maybe another couple day meeting if the first meeting goes well. Like, you just can't learn enough about a person in the short amount of time it takes to interview these guys or to vet them. So you need help, right? And this is why a lot of teams hire these, like, search firms. But those search firms don't even know what the hell they're looking for.
Look, the last time Woody had a search firm, he ended up with Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
Right.
And when I saw that Rick Spielman and Mike Tannenbaum were leading the group, forget Tannenbaum for a second, because, again, we could just continue the joke of Tannenbaum's the team president, Rex was the head coach, Eric Mangini's the DC, like the whole Avengers club. What I actually thought to myself was Rick Spielman's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Spielman is a proven executive.
Right.
He's done it recently. He ran the Minnesota Vikings for a long time and left after 2021, 2022. So that's not that long ago. And I started to think to myself, Rick Spielman's a great candidate. Maybe as Rick Spielman is giving Woody Johnson candidates, we could have a little, I don't know if anyone's familiar with this, but way back in the day.
This is a Bush thing?
Yeah, it's a Bush thing, all right. George W. Bush was the Republican nominee. Trust me, this story is interesting, I promise you. And he didn't know who his running mate should be. So his dad said, I got a great guy you should look at to help the search. And that guy to lead the search was a guy by the name of Dick Cheney.
Strategery.
And so Dick Cheney led the search to find George W. Bush as VP. And all the while, President Bush, or at the time Governor Bush, said, why don't you just do it, Dick? And Dick was like, nah, I'm gonna help you find somebody. And finally, at the end of the search, Dick Cheney was like, you know what? Screw it.
I can't find anyone.
I can't find anybody. I'll do it for you.
Right.
And so Dick Cheney.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He, of course, ended up being George W. Bush's running mate 8 years later, yippity-doo-dah. Can Rick Spielman do that with Woody Johnson? Now, I'm not saying Rick Spielman is perfect by any stretch. We could go over his entire legacy in Minnesota, but is he a better experienced candidate than Jeff Ireland? Yes. I want nothing to do with Jeff Ireland.
Of Miami, right?
Formerly of the Dolphins, the same guy who needed to know from Des Bryant if his mom was a prostitute or not.
That's right.
Same guy.
Right.
So I'm not interested in Jeff Ireland. A lot of the other first-time candidates are very interesting, but you also don't know what you're going to get. So I like the idea of Rick Spielman, so I hope that Woody Johnson can maybe follow the W playbook of, all right, Rick, look for the next GM, but we'd like you to be the next GM. Because I don't think that's a bad candidate, right?
Dude, he's not a bad candidate.
Yeah.
Again, as long as someone has a vision and they have the connections and they can do and hire staff and they know how to work with the scouting department, then the job, I don't want to say, is It could be ideal for anyone. It's just a matter of finding the person that fits with you as an owner, right? Who matches your personality and can speak to you in the right way, as opposed to, I'm coming in here, this is my way, it's the only way, I don't care, owner, you stay out of my way. Like, those things don't often work. It's got to be a lot more intimate. So the relationship between owner and general manager is a big deal. I think it's a really big deal.
Yeah, and it's fascinating with this search, because Woody is probably leaving once he hires somebody. Mm-hmm. There's a really good chance he's going to get a job in the Trump administration. And much like he did 4 years ago, or 8 years ago now, he's going to disappear. So he's going to hire somebody, and then whoever he hires should have the comfort that at least for a few years, mm-hmm. they're not going to have to deal with Woody flying his helicopter down in the middle of practice to pull someone off to fire them, as Jay Glazer reported they did with Joe Douglas the other day.
Rick Spielman, history of the general manager. Elvin, Kevin O'Connell, three other head coaches. Any of them interest you for the Jets if he gets hired?
You want to name them for me? I'll let you know.
Yeah, sure. The Dolphins, he was the GM when Dave Wannstedt was the head coach.
Yeah, I'll pass on that one. Pass that was on, a long time ago. He was the Dolphins GM in like 2004. Okay.
Mike Zimmer.
Okay.
Leslie Frazier.
I like Leslie Frazier.
So keep it open mind for Spielman.
Now?
Good question. And he came back this year to run a defense for somebody. Leslie Frazier, 65.
I don't necessarily want Leslie Frazier to be my head coach. And I don't think that just because
Seattle?
Spielman has a connection
head
with
coach
him.
In Seattle right now.
Right. But just because he has a connection with people or hired those people, those are the only options for head coach.
No, it's not. I'm just bringing to the table, if you have the Dick He's Cheney just, moment right. here.
He's just saying these are the ones that he hired.
No, I understand. Look, Rick Spielman's not perfect. There's a reason he's out of work. I mean, I'm being honest with you. The Vikings got rid of him after the 2021 season, but I do like the idea, I admit, of somebody with experience. Well, here's the tricky part. If someone has experience, they probably got fired at some point.
Yeah.
They usually don't. They're not just great for 10 years and leave.
Almost a 100% fire rate.
Right. So I know that you're looking at somebody who has his, you know, failures, but I do think with where they are as a franchise, I would be intrigued by somebody who's at least done it before. Mm-hmm. Instead of bringing in rookies, which the Jets have done a lot over the last decade, and we see where it's taken them. Let's go to Ralphie in Outer Bridge. What's up, Ralphie?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call.
No problem.
I'm closing in on 70 years old. I've been a Jet fan for 60 years, and I've seen it all. While we're strolling down memory lane, when is Herm Edwards' name going to come up? Because, you know, that's only a matter of time. Listen, I want Brian Flores to coach this team.
I agree.
The guy's got a chip on his shoulder. He's going to come in fiery. He's going to kick ass. And at this point, to be honest with you, I want them to win the whole thing, not for me. So my grandson doesn't hate me for making him a Jet fan.
well said, Ralphie.
That's a great one.
One thing I like about Brian Flores, so we had a caller about 18 minutes ago. He could rewind on the Odyssey app, and it was a great transition between what's going on with the Giants and then this discussion on the Jets. The guy said to me, hey, Evan, as a Jet fan, would you hire Brian Daboll and Joe Shane?
Mm-hmm.
If John Mara fired both of them, would you hire them? My concern about Brian Daboll is the same concern I had about Adam Gase. I think that when you've had your first tenure as a head coach, mm-hmm. you need time to reflect on what you did right and what you did wrong. And I think instantly getting your next job is very, very dangerous. What I like about Brian Flores is he's been humbled.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a chance to work in multiple organizations and also be reflective on where he screwed up. I think if a guy like Daboll got another job immediately, I'm not sure he'd be able to do that. I'm sure he would think I did nothing wrong.
No, I don't think that's true, but I think Adam Gase is different. The only reason I wouldn't compare them, I know what you're comparing.
Yeah, because Adam Gase is terrible.
Right, you're comparing the...
I apologize for that.
You're comparing the immediacy of taking the second job.
Correct, yes.
And not reflecting on what went wrong the first time around.
Yes.
I mean, same thing happened with Rex, to be honest with you. He goes up to Buffalo.
Completely agree.
I barely remember what happened up there. I don't remember Rex's tenure in Buffalo.
It wasn't good.
I know, but I don't remember why. I don't remember. It's a blur of non-success. That's really all that matters. I think Dave's, different than Gase, knows how to coach the young quarterback. That's what likely is going to happen for the New York Jets. And so I think in some ways that might benefit Dave's more. And again, this isn't going to happen, so I don't even know how we're talking about it. But to answer the hypothetical question, I think Dave's would be okay. if he had to go coach the Jets and it's a brand new quarterback.
I'll give you this. I'll give you this. Sean, Giant fans and Jet fans.
Sure.
I would rather have Brian Daboll coaching my team next year than Rex Ryan.
So would I.
Why would you agree with that? I thought you loved Brian Daboll. You want him coaching the New York Jets next year?
No, but I'm saying I would rather have Brian Daboll. I would get it. Yeah.
He's talking in general.
Oh, I almost want Brian Daboll to coach the Jets next year.
Why?
Because as much as I can't stand Aaron Rodgers and the Jets and all this, I know Brian Daboll's going to be a good head coach somewhere, and I hope every Giant fan that basically wants to urinate on his grave right now can watch him go have success across town and be the one that finally changes over the Jets, and people could, you know, honestly get what they wish for.
Yeah, but you know what you're doing? I know why you're doing this. It's like I'm a psychiatrist. He is so angry at some of his fellow Giant fans that he's letting his anger out in a way that would actually kill you. If Brian Daboll ended up becoming the head coach of the Jets and succeeding, dare I say, even with Aaron Rodgers, that would make Saquon Barkley right now look like nothing. It'd be football horror on steroids.
Right,
you don't want that.
In theory, it could be a decade.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where Saquon's going to be a pain in the butt for 3 to 5 years.
I got to make things very clear because I know me better than anybody knows me, okay? And there were a couple times I truly hated the Jets. I hated Rex Ryan because he kept bringing the Giants into it, and I hated Aaron Rodgers because I have personal beef with Aaron Rodgers, okay? I have no beef with Brian Daboll. I love Brian Daboll. And honestly, if that leads to all, I love the Mannings. If you have Brian Daboll and the Mannings, I will find the Jets very lovable. They won't be my favorite team, but I won't nearly hate them as much.
No way.
And then all those Giant fans sit there and sulk and, you know, deal with Bill Belichick basically dying and passing it over to Josh McDaniels, and you see what it's like.
Just to be clear here, though, you hate Rex Ryan because he brings other teams up all the time. Interesting. He moves the goalposts. He's cocky. Aaron Rodgers is the same thing. That's why you hate both of them?
Yeah.
Okay. Sound like someone else we know?
Yeah, him.
I hate myself.
Let's go to Mike on Long Island. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, boys?
All good.
Here's the thing with Daboll. Why does he keep getting the pass? Why does he just keep figuring it out? Just keep figuring it out. Get rid of the quarterback. Figure it out. Get your next guy.
But what do you mean getting a pass? He's getting criticized all the time.
Everyone's
what do you
like,
mean?
Yeah. Because everybody says he has to stay. No, he has to stay. Let him get a shot. It's been 3 years.
You can't fire a coach every 3 years. You just can't do it. Every 2 years, you just can't do it. It's an unsustainable, like, emotional roller coaster. Every 2 years, you can't have a
coach. But you also can't keep a coach if you know they're not the right answer.
I 100% agree, but we don't know that yet.
I agree. I think that our last caller's terming this wrong. I don't think Brian Daboll's getting a pass. Brian Daboll's getting hammered today.
And he's been getting hammered all year.
He has been.
And why do people keep saying 3 years of this, 3 years of this? The first year we was coach of the year, they won a playoff game. And in hindsight, everybody who couldn't stand Daniel Jones, let's be real, in hindsight, doesn't what Brian Daboll did 2 years ago with Daniel Jones as quarterback look even better now than it did then?
I mean, you're not wrong. Like, people think this is 3 years of ineptitude. They won 9 games in a playoff game.
It's two bad years.
One of the second one, which was last year, was filled with injuries from top to bottom of the roster.
But that's why most people weren't calling for his job at the end of year.
I agree.
The but call now is because of the way things have gotten so rotten. And if it gets worse, then yeah, it's going to be overwhelming from Giant fans that he has to go. If it gets worse. If it doesn't get worse, and they turn, I don't want to say turn their season around because that implies like they're winning games and they're in a playoff race. I mean,
but you're saying if they finish the season 7-10,
I was going to set it lower. I was going to say 5-12.
Right.
If they win 5 games, which means they win 3 of their next 6 and they're competitive, I think he keeps his job. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be split. Trust me, there's always going to be fans who say, hey, back-to-back losing seasons, blame this guy, blame that guy, screw him, get rid of him. But the appeal of Brian Daboll, for me, as an IFO, is what can he do with a young quarterback? We haven't seen that yet.
The whole reason you hired him.
I understand.
I know.
But we're 3 years in, and it hasn't happened yet.
But that's the thing.
But think about what you're saying.
Yes.
We're 3 years in, and we don't know. Right?
Yes.
Daniel Jones got 6 years himself.
You're right.
That's your quarterback. So you're 3 years in and you're acting as if it's an eternity. It's just not.
And you would effectively be firing a regime of Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, essentially still paying the penance that Dave Gettleman set up by taking a running back when they had the second overall pick. By the way, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and then the next year reaching on Daniel Jones.
Here's why I disagree.
How is that
with
wrong?
That. Because you're like the president who keeps blaming the former president for the entire term.
They haven't had enough talent.
Hold on, Sean. At some point, you own it. You own the fact that that quarterback that you inherited, you kept. You own the fact that that running back that was drafted 2 overall, you also kept and franchised and then let him go. Like, I'm not arguing those decisions, but eventually you own them.
But the
that's a part of your resume, too. You can't keep blaming Gettleman.
But the roster was in such a hole because of Gettleman that the two premier picks he used on those two guys were the ones that basically the fan base had fawn over. And look at this. We're still having a leadership void as a result of those guys.
No. But this new administration could have fixed that.
Well, they could have added more talent at other positions. Yes.
The one thing that turns me off, I'm sorry, I disagree, is continuing to blame the administration from 3 years ago. You can't do it after a while. After a while, it's like, all right, it's on.
I disagree, but...
Well, you can disagree all you want. You own it. You break it, you own it. You extended Daniel Jones. That's no longer a Dave Gettleman thing. Am I right, Teague?
Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
But when you win 9 games and he's healthy and you make sure to put in the caveat that you can get out of that contract in 2 years... It looks bad now, was the smart thing to do. He didn't just blindly
matter.
Pay him.
That's their decision. Stop bringing up Gettleman.
All right. So then a GM should have done something stupid like draft Kenny
Pickett.
That's
not the point. The point is, stop blaming the former GM when the new GM was able to finally clear the cap sheets and make his own moves. Bobby Okereke didn't want to make a tackle yesterday. Is that Dave Gettleman's fault?
No.
Deontay Banks, quit on plays. Is that Dave Gettleman's fault?
When did I say Joe Shane's perfect? My point is
you're
the entire thing was set backwards. We're forgetting how big a hole this team was in because of Dave Gettleman.
And at what point does the statute of limitation end on that?
Well, I finally saw a good draft after 3 years. So now finally momentum's building where Joe Shane didn't have to draft for need like he had the first
draft.
You're
very passionate. You want to keep these guys, and I understand that.
Because you know what's going to happen? They're going to hire somebody else, and then we're going to say in 2 years? Well, the best players on this regime are the Joe Shane guys from the 2024 draft.
You know what my worry is about keeping these guys? And walk me through how this wouldn't be kind of an awkward situation. For all the reasons we've laid out, hey, let's let them draft a quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's the quarterback whisperer. Is why he's here. Okay. And they draft a quarterback. We are now entering the fourth year of Brian Daboll, the fourth year of Joe Shane, but just a rookie quarterback. And a rookie quarterback is going to have his bumps.
Of course.
So how do we react to the fourth year of Brian Daboll? We're not going to want to fire a head coach 1 year in.
You should want to.
So has he been extended basically for 3 more years?
Probably not 3 more years, but today's rookie quarterback is expected to play relatively soon. And you get an answer within a year or two. That's unfortunate, but that's just the reality. Now, the question is, if they're in position and they take one of these kids, how much runway does that add to their resume?
That's the question.
And so I think it still becomes success based because at that time you're gonna have talent on offense. You already have talent on defense. And so it's yes, developing a young quarterback, but it's also not making him have to be the guy. Just let him be good enough that you can grow around him. So it's a different situation than what they're dealing with right now.
Very different.
And so, I mean, does it extend them? Of course. But that's the luck of being able to hang on to your job. So if they're able to hang on to their job, you know what? They get the benefit of the doubt until the quarterback that they choose ultimately makes it or does it. Period. They have yet to choose a quarterback, though.
I think it's fair to say that Jet fans too, New Yorkers, we all need a laugh today, right? We all need something to pick us up. Could we just, I have the audio. We need to dissect the sentence that Sean just said and how he butchered the English language. You all ready?
Yeah, sure.
And you would effectively be firing a regime of Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, essentially still paying the penance.
Oh, that would be penance.
Gettleman set up by taking a...
So, effectively, they didn't infect anybody. It's effectively, and you would be paying the penance. There's no, I don't even know
penance.
Penance. Tiki, you're the smartest guy here by far.
Pittance.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, just go do your DeVito shtick.
Well, hold on a second. We got to be... The audience heard those two words. There are a lot of teachers out there. There are a lot of English majors. Or I don't know anybody above, you know, an IQ of 40 that would know those two words don't exist. Or all you right, used them wrong.
Whatever.
We need a laugh. That's all.
All right. Well, ha-ha, hee-hee.
I laughed for that, Tommy. Thank you. I appreciate that. I needed a good laugh.
That was a good little chuckle there for Jets and Giant fans.
I know.
And how about this? Even Knick fans for losing to the Jazz on Saturday. I'll throw you a bone.
Mikal Bridges broken.
Well,
shot.
You didn't have to take it there. You didn't have to take it there.
Hey, Tommy DeVito had a performance on. It's funny, we've barely talked about Tommy DeVito. He went from the headline of Thursday and Friday to like, does he exist? When we come back, we'll check in on our Tommy DeVito stat predictions. Plus, can we judge how he played yesterday? Plus more of your calls, 888-808-1019. We were lucky enough over the weekend to not just see the New York Giants get their ass kicked, but at least while we were watching the Giants get their butt kicked, we heard a friendly voice. We heard Tiki Barber call the game very successfully with Andrew Catalan and Jason McCourty and A.J. Ross, but I'm not sure you guys picked up on him being dirty again.
Stop.
Earlier this season, we noticed Tiki would drop in, like, dirty comments, and we would track them down, and we would play them. But right in front of our very own eyes, Tiki got dirty.
He's just not gotten quite used to recognizing balls.
Oh, has he?
You remember that one, Tiki? Not really.
Just kind of sneak up on me.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was smashing to that hole right there.
That was my favorite moment from the game yesterday. See, I almost made it my Cadillac iconic moment.
I think that Tiki realized most Giant fans are depressed. Let me put a smile on their face. Now, you also, I don't want to say you took a shot at Giant fans. You were actively describing the scene at halftime.
Yes.
But it was very to the point. Here's Tiki Barber at halftime, basically talking to all of us about how embarrassing the scene is at MetLife Stadium.
A lot of boos and a lot of people heading towards the exit already, which is a bad sign for the New York Giants faithful's belief in what this team is going to do.
I kind of have to question people. Like, I know it was ugly. It was terrible. Can you really leave at halftime?
There were a lot of people leaving it at
halftime. I know, but you've already invested so much time in going to the game. Well, can you really leave at halftime?
I personally could never, because I would never want to miss this game. By Sunday morning, tickets in the lower bowl yesterday in the secondary market were selling for $64 to get in the price.
Well, you know
lower
what that shows me?
Wow.
You know what that shows me? With all due respect to you and everyone else, I think we got something really wrong around here. We were wrong about the DeVito effect. We assumed that this is going to placate Giant fans. People are going to want to show up. Based on the secondary market, I don't think it made any difference whatsoever on your interest in going to the game.
No. Yeah. And if you're going to pay less to get in the door, you're not as financially invested to stay for the game. And look, I live on Long Island. It takes me forever to get home, so I would likely stay the game. But if you lived in New Jersey, and it was halftime of that game where they're showing no life.
And you could be home in 22 minutes?
22 minutes. Watch the rest of the game and the rest of the day on TV. Why wouldn't you leave at halftime?
Yeah. I don't know, man. The only time I've ever left a game at halftime was when Jacob DeGrom signed with Texas, and I was so devastated, I left a Nets-Raptors game. It's the only time.
I was just going to say, I know you didn't leave a baseball game.
I'm a loser.
I was getting ready to be shocked for a second.
It was a Nets-Raptors game. Trust me, I never leave Nets games.
Was it a mathematical improbability that they were coming back at
the
moment?
The Nets were up by 25 at the half or something of that nature. So it was obviously they were capable of blowing it, which they almost did.
The Nets still in the league.
I was so devastated by the news of DeGrom, I couldn't be there. I needed to go home and cry. So I got in my car, went home, recorded a Rico, most popular Rico Bronya we ever did, because people are just disgusting humans that want to see another grown man cry. But the idea of leaving early, as bad as things are, is foreign to me. But anyhow, Tommy DeVito wasn't that sexy to a lot of us. Now, we did make predictions on Tommy's stat line. Now, just so you know, Tommy DeVito's actual stat line was 21 for 31, 189 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, 32 rushing yards, and he got sacked 512 times.
But looked better than it sounded, though, with you.
21-31, that's actually not horrible.
I agree. Good. It's actually the opposite of what you just said, Tommy. It sounds a lot better than what it actually was.
Right.
It was worse than
so
that.
Because so much of it was in the second half.
Yeah, it was gone.
The first half was, I don't know, it felt inept.
Well, I think in the first half he may have thrown for like 9 yards. It was that bad.
35, to be exact.
35, and he got sacked three times.
Yeah, because of the sacks yardage.
Yeah,
right. It was under 10. I think it was actually 10.
Yes, it was not impressive. So we all made stat predictions. Tiki did not. He was not legally allowed to, as an eloquent broadcaster that he is. So let's start off with Tommy Lugauer, who's a big Tommy DeVito believer. Let's see how right he was.
20 completions. On 27 attempts.
Not bad.
For 275 yards, three tutties, no turnovers.
Okay.
And 30 rushing yards in a Giants victory.
All right, so there's a few things right, a lot of things wrong. Giant victory wrong. Rushing yards, he basically nailed it.
Okay, one for one.
Yeah, 32 yards was the actual number. He said 30 yards. Right. No turnovers, nailed that one too.
Yep. 2-0.
20 completions compared to 21, that's not too bad.
3-0.
But three touchdowns is a problem.
All right, so 3-1. That's not bad.
And
I was
300,
3-1.
And no, not really. And 275 yards is not very close.
I guess he scored. No, he didn't score the rushing
touchdown. No, it was handed off to Devin Singletary.
Well, he could have scored a rushing touchdown if they didn't run wildcat.
Yeah, that's right. That is true. So I would say that was fairly wrong. fairly wrong. Actually, I'd say it's very wrong.
3-1-1, I would say, is probably.
It's not 3-1-1.
Well, one was a tie, one was a loss. I took a loss.
You got two
touchdown.
Losses. You got touchdowns and passing yards. We're way off.
No, that was the tie, passing yards.
That was not a tie. 189 to 275. Are you nuts? You're off by 100 yards.
That's the margin of 100.
And I think the other problem was you said giant win. They got blown out. Like, yeah. All of those yards came in garbage time.
Well, I was the only one on the show that believed in the team and said they would win. Tiki was not contractually obligated to say anything. We know where his heart is.
And you were wrong. You want a medal because you picked your team to win like a loser? Congratulations, you lost. Anyhow, let's hear Sean Morash. Maybe he was pretty close.
Hold on.
24 of 33 for 307 yards. He rushes in a touchdown and throws one touchdown.
Oh, wow.
Jesus. Boy, you guys were really drinking the Kool-Aid.
Wow. Yeah,
we were. Not anymore.
Here's my prediction. Let's see if I was accurate.
Sugar in it.
Yeah, seriously.
15 for 27. Mm. 177 yards.
Nailed it.
One touchdown, one interception. Mm. So a very blah performance by Tommy DeVito.
Oh, I think I nailed it.
You got close.
I got very close.
No interceptions because he doesn't throw interceptions.
And no touchdowns. I was off by one on each.
Yeah, that's a big off.
Not as big as three touchdowns by Tommy.
True.
And two combined touchdowns for Sean.
Your total stat line feels okay.
Well,
it's just the touchdown and the interception.
The passing yards I nailed, 177.
Yeah, okay.
He got 189.
Right.
And the best part was I
love this, Tiki, because this is the whole reason Evan has set up this big reveal. He wanted to be right on the passing yards.
Sean. That actually offends me deeply.
Does it?
For months now, we've done stat predictions.
Yes, we have.
I then say we're going to do it Monday at 4:30, and correct. We do it. So you can't say this is about me at all.
They've never been teased.
By the way, Tommy, thank you very much for supporting
me. No, Evan 100% does.
Evan teased it three times today because he was so right on passing yards.
Let me teach you a thing about radio. Sometimes you want to tell the audience what's coming up.
Pancake breakfast. Yeah. We do it every month.
How many times you tease Cinco today?
Oh, we doing that today?
Every day, 5, 0, 7, 8, whatever.
I forgot. I clearly won this one, though. I'll take my victory.
I mean, I won, but that's okay.
You didn't win. You said three touchdowns.
No, you keep going to touchdowns. I had yardage nailed on the ground and in the air.
Tommy. Three touchdowns, 275 yards, a giant win. You couldn't have been
more
wrong.
Hold on a second.
If we put it to a test, you couldn't possibly be more
wrong. The offensive line didn't block. The defense didn't want to tackle. So the giant win thing is not on DeVito.
No,
so therefore,
no,
it's eliminated
from
the prediction.
Tommy, that's a very different animal, okay? We all know that the Giants failed on a lot of levels. But we also knew as we made these stat predictions, and we'll do it again on Wednesday or Tuesday or maybe even the actual day of Thursday because we are going to work Thanksgiving. We'll be around for a brief show, but we will be on. We're going to make stat predictions. And you have to always take everything into account. You have to take into the team that you're watching into account. Like, we knew Jermaine Illuminor was going to be the left tackle. Now, we may not have known he was going to get hurt, but we knew that this offensive line is not the same without Andrew Thomas.
Speaking of,
we know that.
What is the injury update on the Giants' offensive line?
So, Evan Neal.
Illuminor went down with the quad injury.
Yes. So, today, they didn't really practice, but they had to issue a practice report.
Right, because they play on Thursday.
Right. So, he was declared, did not practice, and Evan Neal, with a hip injury, was declared, did not practice. We are in line right now.
Did not practice. When did he get hurt?
Great question, Teague. You guys were on the game. Did anybody see this? Because I did.
No, I did not see this.
I mean, is this just Evan Neal going, before Micah Parsons ruins the rest of my career, let me make sure I have a hip injury?
Oh, geez.
Potentially. But I'm just throwing it out there.
Wow, that's an accusation.
Potentially. Because guess what? Guess what happens now that Daniel Jones is gone, now that everybody's gotten their blood on Shane and Dable today? Thanksgiving, national TV, you know who's next? It's Evan Neal again. We go back to the Evan Neal knocking.
You think that's what it is?
I never want to question anybody, but I think everything's on the table right now.
Well, I will guarantee you this. Wednesday at 4:30, we'll make our updated Tommy DeVito stat predictions for Thanksgiving. And Tiki's allowed to make that.
Did he practice?
Who, Tommy DeVito?
Yeah.
He did.
Toughness, heart, everything you want in your quarterback. By the way, we have to grade these on a curve. I think we didn't make that clear last week.
Tommy, take it, loss, and move on.
We just have to be fair here.
You may win Thanksgiving. You took a loss.
No, we have to grade on a curve based on the entire team's performance when we go back,
When you make a stat prediction, it's a stat prediction. You don't get to do that on FanDuel, like the over-under on rushing yards, and then base it on how the offensive line is. You took a loss, and that's okay. I assume that on Thursday or Wednesday when we make these stat predictions for Thanksgiving, you already heard from Sean. He's giving up on Tommy DeVito.
Yeah.
He's throwing him into the middle of the curb. I'm not sure what Tiki's going to do. He's a real wild card. You got it all to yourself. Pick a big number, fight DeVito. You got a chance to win. But for the first Tommy DeVito performance, I would actually label this as Sean, tell me if you agree with me. An embarrassing loss for Tommy.
It was embarrassing loss. Yeah. And I'm anxious to see what he predicts for Thanksgiving. I'm sure the audience will gobble it up.
See, I like that. By the way, Sean, just so you know, because I don't know if the audience is aware, in exactly 16 minutes, you'll have a Cinco de Fivo from Sean Morash. You hear that every day at 5 o'clock, or at least close to 5 o'clock,
exactly,
right here on Evident TV.
And a little hint, I'll tease the whole week. The whole week's Thanksgiving themed.
He's lazy. Yeah. I mean, he just mailed it in. He looked like the Giants defense. That's a mail-in.
Let me guess. Apple pie, pumpkin pie, lemon meringue pie.
Sweet potato mash with the marshmallows. Ooh, tickle me.
Sweet potato pie, even though I think it's the same as pumpkin pie. And
first of all, that's wrong in so many levels.
Cherry. No. Cherry pie.
Third of all.
First of all, you're assuming you know what the Cinco actually is.
I'm just guessing.
It's... For the record, tomorrow we'll be ranking Thanksgiving desserts, not today.
Well, since you like us correcting predictions, your Cinco on Friday was actually a really good one. You want to remind the audience what it was?
Yeah, it was the five likeliest headlines we wake up to off Giants Bucks in the newspapers.
The one that was most likely was the Giants losing to Tampa, which you correctly had as number one. And what was your headline?
I was actually number two, and it was they get blown out by Tampa with the headline, Pirates Booty.
Pirates Booty.
I'm so good at
this.
We
do have the answers from what the local newspapers did as their headline. You said Pirates Booty. I would tell you that Newsday, which still exists, had Met lifeless. DeVito can't jumpstart Giants, still winless at home after rout by Bucks.
Okay.
We've got the New York Post that did mocked and rolled. Mayfield trolls DeVito and company in total beatdown. Neighbors rip soft Giants as quarterback change makes no impact. And then, personally, my favorite was the Daily News. I got to hand it to the Daily News. Baked cutlets.
Oh, my Moroccan.
That's good.
Yeah. Mayfield and Bucks mock and embarrass pitiful Giants in swamp blowout.
You ain't all right, buddy.
Baked cutlets. That's a good one.
It is good.
What did you think of that?
Because I'm not as creative as the Daily News.
The Daily News hasn't been creative in 30 years.
Well, they picked a good day to be creative.
I like that one. Baked cutlets. Speaking of Baker Mayfield.
It could have been worse. Like, what if you burn cutlets? Like, you... charred, like over, I don't know. I'm trying to say baked sounds too delicious.
Baker.
I understand that.
Well, the cutlets are supposed to be fried. The baked ones are often dried out.
Baked.
Like, you're right. You could have had a better word to the cutlets, but it's Baker.
Yeah.
Like, you had to include Baker's performance in said, you know, headline. And what the Daily News did, and we'll get into this coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, Baker Mayfield did the Tommy DeVito celebration, which obviously caused some feathers being ruffled.
He was a little aggressive with it, though.
He was very aggressive.
He was bad at it. Evan was worse. By the way, you did the Johnny Manziel money. It's this. You want to do, you did this. And Baker Mayfield just kind of did one of those.
Yeah, Tommy just moved his hands very quickly.
Right.
Baker was very excited when he was doing the celebration. Like, he was moving it violently. It was like he was doing something else. I'm
like
not sure what
it
was.
Rave.
Yes.
I thought it looked familiar.
But we'll get to Baker's celebrations and some people being very angry about it coming up a little bit later on. Let's go to Ed in Marlboro. What's up, Ed? Hello, Ed. Ed, you there?
What up?
All right, we'll put you back on hold. Instead, we'll go to Rich in, how do you pronounce that? Barnegat. What's up, Rich?
Evan, you can never pronounce the name of my town. You have made
it's very confusing.
This is like the third time.
Rich, because he's never been there.
Clearly.
I think I once pumped gas there.
You had to have been there. You did not pump gas there.
I know. I said it.
You sat in your car and watched someone pump your gas.
That's true. What's up?
What's up, Rich?
So I want to harken back a little bit to, you guys are talking about, could Joe Shane fire Brian Daboll? And I think the answer amongst everybody was no.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to correlate this to what happened, Tiki, right around the end of your career when Ernie Accorsi left and Jerry Reese was promoted. What if the Giants were to get rid of Joe Shane as the figurehead and be a sacrificial lamb, and they promote the guy that everyone saw on Hard Knocks, Brandon Brown, who seems like he's sharp, up-and-coming guy. He'll probably get poached.
Almost did last year, or at least he had some interviews last year as well.
Yeah, and I think that this whole Hard Knocks thing is an indictment on how Hard Knocks should never be allowed to do an off-season thing, because they're just going to, it's going to lose so many people their jobs, because you can second guess every conversation that's shown and blown up on there. I just, I really thought that they did the Giants dirty. I know that they've...
Rich, you make a very good point. Because any decision that you've made that became a debate, now you know who was on what side of it.
Well, that is true. What would cost Joe Shane his job is 2-9.
Right. I agree.
I mean...
I agree.
Yes, we have a more insight into the thinking and who was on what side, and obviously some of the specific comments that did not age well when it comes to Joe Shane. But ultimately, if they were 9-2 instead of 2-9, it wouldn't matter.
Or even
5-4.
Or 5-6. What would that be? 6? They were 5-6.
I did my math wrong.
Right.
Yes.
They were 5-6, right? Who wouldn't be talking
about
that?
That's why, I get it. It adds to the discussion. But this is still and always has been a results business.
Yeah.
Now, let me walk you through where I can see the scenario of Daboll being gone and Shane keeping his job. If the owner got involved and the owner said, look, he sits down Brian Daboll at the end of the season, all right? He loses the locker room. Now, your contention, Teak, is this was a one-off.
Mm-hmm.
This was a bad week.
For now.
For now. Okay. Let's say it's not for now. And let's say the room is completely lost and they finish 2-15. Now, we all agree, I think all of us would agree on this, it'd be very difficult for Brian Daboll to keep his job off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
So John Mara, the owner, sits everybody down one by one and says, let's have an exit meeting. Brian, how'd you lose the locker room? And he doesn't have an answer. And the owner's like, my God, I can't keep him. Mm-hmm. He has no answer for why he lost the room. Then he evaluates some of the individual pieces that Joe Shane has brought in and the process in which that's done and says, I actually feel good about it. I actually feel good about the player selections that are going on. Because this past draft doesn't look horrible, right, Sean? You seem okay with this recent draft.
It looks actually really good.
Yeah. Looks good. So the owner sits down and says, I can't keep the head coach. He just lost the locker room.
Yeah.
But I really want to keep the GM because I like this draft. I like the talent he's brought in. That's where the owner says, hey, Joe, I'm sorry, and I know you're close to him, but here's my reasoning. I don't think we should keep the head coach. Now, Joe Shane could have a choice. He could go down with the ship and say, I'm sorry. I refuse to fire him. I'm going to die on the sword. And then you've got that issue. Or he can say, I get it. Okay, we'll look for a new head coach. I think the scenario I just painted out is not the craziest scenario in the world.
No, it's not. But there's so many other things that still have to happen for that type of thing to play its way out. Look, the talent is here. You can see it, right? Malik Nabers is going to be really good. Theo Johnson is going to be really good. Tyrone Tracy, who they got in the fifth round. He's the 14th running back taken in this draft. Mm. I think he's going to be really good. And so the talent is getting better. But I honestly, I don't even know if it's the coaching. It's more oftentimes the play calling, like the decisions. Those are the things that tend to get this team to short circuit. And then they execute them poorly. And so you end up blaming the players, but you also are blaming the coach. It becomes... Or the play caller, I should say, it becomes like this cycle of, well, whose fault is it?
Right.
Right? Is it the call or is it the execution? And it's almost too hard to, in real time, to figure that out. It's a self-scout thing. It's an evaluation thing. Which you're right. It's going to come up. It's going to come up at the end of the year. It has to.
Absolutely. And that's where there could be a split. I think we've all assumed they're a package deal because they came together. But sometimes one person's doing decent at their job. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm being kind in saying that. And someone may be doing bad at their job. And that's where it may end up in this awkward split. And it's funny. I think it was about 2 weeks ago. I put a poll out on social media. And I asked the Giant fan, if you could only keep one, which one would you keep? Joe Shane or Brian Daboll? And Daboll won easily.
Mm.
Because I think Giant fans still at the end of the day, as much as they may have turned on him over the last few weeks, still have this belief of, man, if I got a young quarterback with him,
right,
he'd develop him. And sorry, Loogie, no one thinks of Tommy DeVito in that way.
Well, I do. I may be alone.
Good for
but
you.
I believe.
I'm proud of you. I hope he does well.
Well, I don't. You're proud of me. You're not like my father or something.
You're holding out firm.
Because I believe in the kid.
I don't think you actually do.
No, I definitely do.
Is there anything you've actually seen on tape that makes you believe in him?
It's the intangibles and the stuff you don't see on tape.
No, but Dev, is there anything, Tiki would like this, is there anything on tape you've seen from Tommy DeVito?
I'm glad you asked me that because I did watch tape this morning on Tommy DeVito.
Yeah,
and I loved his decision making. I love that how
Hold
he handles
adversity. Time out. Okay. Hey, Tiki, what'd you think of Tommy DeVito's decision making on Sunday?
It was too slow.
Okay. Too slow. His decision making
took
was
a lot
slow.
Of sacks.
Okay.
But once in the second half, he was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I like the fact that he fed his number one receiver in the second half. Mm-hmm. So he knows, all right, my best player is Malik Nabers. Need to get him the football.
It felt like at halftime, Dave just said, I'm calling plays, throw the ball to Malik.
Okay, so...
Throw the ball to Malik.
Right.
I don't care if he's covered, double covered.
So whatever. That really wasn't Tommy DeVito showing you anything.
Well, tough. I mean, he made the throws.
Yeah, no, he did.
Got crushed on that one play in the end zone. Drew Locke came out there. Most guys would be like, I'm good. Tommy got right back out there. So toughness, heart. Love that. Stands in the pocket and takes a big hit.
Yeah, too many times. Mm. That's not a good thing sometimes.
Well, that's on the offensive line. That's not on Tommy DeVito.
No, holding onto the ball too long can sometimes be on the
quarterback. Holding onto the ball too long. Vita Vea was in the backfield before you could count the
two. Tell me if I'm wrong, Teague. There are occasions in which you have no chance. Then there are occasions where you hold onto the ball too long.
True. They were probably half.
Yeah.
So bad play design then. Meaning guys aren't open for Tommy to deliver the football. So we're good. And I love when he tucks the ball and he runs. Great with that stuff. 40 yards on the ground yesterday or something like that. Fantastic. So it has the wheels.
What I love about Lugie is that he will die supporting Tommy DeVito. Yeah.
I want nothing more in life than this guy.
Tommy DeVito could go 2-for-14 with 5 picks on Thanksgiving. And he will find a way to defend him. Sean, on the other hand, is going to flop all over the place depending on what happens. We found our quarterback! Right. He sucks! Get rid of him! I think we have a quarterback! Oh my God, he's terrible!
The Giants scored 7 points yesterday in a game where the team basically pouted in the locker room post-game that they let go of Daniel Jones. I'm sorry, Tommy. Get lost with the DeVito shtick. Not what anybody wants to hear.
Well, it's not shtick. It's that I found a quarterback that I want to be the Giants quarterback for the next 10 years. Schtick. I believe in him.
Schtick.
I believe in his intangibles. Schtick. I was even thinking about this yesterday before the game.
Schtick.
That Monday night game against the Packers was probably my favorite Giant moment in the last 8 years, including the playoff win over the Vikings. You forget this now, how you were giggling in your basement there. He might be the answer, he might be the quarterback. It took over. It was so much fun. And I still believe that's in there. Now, yesterday was a little ugly. All right, fine. But I still believe that Tommy DeVito and that spark that we saw last year is in there. It's got to develop him. Brian Daboll's got to turn Tommy DeVito into the next Josh Allen. And we're working on it. We're going to go back in the lab here. We're going to figure that one out by Thursday.
Very hard.
We'll do it by Thursday, Thanksgiving, around 4:30, because we'll be back.